Kellogg, Henry W., Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. July 1, 1895. Mr. Henry Kellogg, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear Brother, on Sunday, June 30th, a general meeting was held in Ashfield and continued through the entire day. Brethren and sisters from different churches in this locality met with the brethren at Ashfield. Elder Corliss spoke in the morning. W.C. White spoke at 1:30. I had an appointment to speak at 3 p.m. Brother Cooper and his family came to our house from Liverpool, a distance of 13 miles away. He dined with us, left his horse and trap at our place, and with his family boarded the cars for Ashfield, which is 12 miles beyond Granville. This man has lately embraced the truth. For 7 years, he held a position in the railway service. The authorities would not give him the privilege of keeping the Sabbath and continuing his business. He left the service and has purchased a little farm upon which he hopes to be able to make a living for himself and family. When he sent in his resignation, the railroad authorities presented every inducement if he would continue his work and ignore his convictions upon the Sabbath. But, through the grace of God, he determined to walk in the light that he had received. He told us yesterday that he received his first light on this question from reading Great Controversy and Thoughts on Daniel and Revelation. After reading these books, he knew what was duty, and he had moral courage to follow out his convictions. He had come about 30 miles to receive the ordinance of baptism. About 2 weeks ago, 9 were baptized who have lately come to a knowledge of the faith. Yesterday, 5 more were baptized. When I entered the hall to fulfill my appointment at 3:00, I found it crowded with a noble-looking company of people. Among them was Mr. Showy, the schoolteacher from Pennant Hills, with his wife and 2 children. He still holds his position as teacher. He has built a house for Brother and Sister James, who live upon his farm and help him in his agricultural business. He also embraced the truth by reading Thoughts on Daniel and The Revelation and The Great Controversy. He investigated the matter for months, but has now become firmly established in the faith. He came 20 miles in his own conveyance to attend the meeting. He was so anxious that his neighbors might understand the truth that he built a meeting room which will seat about 200. The whole family are preparing to become workers and to help others to see the light of truth. He is full of hope and energy. Just now, his mind is exercised on the building of an orphan's home. He has valuable land in his possession and desires that we should go out and see it and give him our approval in this enterprise. As I looked upon that interesting, intelligent people, my heart was made glad. I could but praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy to the children of men. The majority of the people who have embraced the truth are in poverty. On the front seat before me sat an old man who is one of the few of the genuine Waldensian stock who were so persecuted for their faith. I think I wrote you some particulars about my acquaintance with this old man. About 3 months ago, I spoke in the tent at Petersham and felt the deep need of the Spirit of God. I spoke in a very decided manner in regard to those who were now having the opportunity of hearing the truth. I presented the fact to them that great evidence was given to them and that they should have moral courage to walk in the light while they had the light. The Holy Spirit sent the words home to many hearts. I urged upon them the necessity of obeying the truth as soon as they were convicted that it was truth. When the collection was taken up, there was found in it a small pencil box with a letter wrapped about it, addressed to me. The letter spoke of the righteous appreciation of the words that had been spoken. The brother wrote, "Silver and gold have I none, but I send you this little token of my regard. I have been greatly benefited by the truth that has been set before me." In the little box was a tin pencil case and a few short lead pencils that fitted the case. This was the Waldensian brother of whom I have spoken. I was deeply interested in him. While holding meetings in Tasmania, I received a letter stating that he had been rebaptized. 60 years before, he had been baptized in the waters of the Lucerne by Dobin, the author of The History of the Reformation. This old man, though poor in earthly goods, is rich in faith, an heir with Christ, a member of the royal family, a child of the heavenly King. My message to the people at this time was to arise and build. Since the tent was taken down in Ashfield, we have had a very difficult task to find a place in which to hold our meetings. The people have been very bitter in their opposition, and through the efforts of the clergy, even the Oddfellows Hall was closed against us. It is a positive necessity that we have a house of worship in this suburb. At this meeting, we decided to see what could be done in the way of raising money for the purchasing of land and for the building of a house of worship. A church home must be erected for those who have begun to observe the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. Brother Corliss, Brother McCullough, and W.C. White spoke to the point and invited the people to do the best they could in pledging for this purpose. I then appropriated to this purpose the $100 that you sent to me for missionary enterprises. In less than an hour, 103 £10 were pledged to this work. I thank God for the success we have had. This money can be invested in purchasing land, and we shall have to do what we can to raise money for the erection of the building. Considering the poverty of the people, we have raised more money than we anticipated. We then had a praise service of song and prayer and closed the meeting. The old Waldensian grasped my hand as I came out and said, "Sister White, it is on occasions of this kind that my poverty hurts me. I am now 79 years old and possess nothing on earth." But though so poor, he was rejoicing that he had Jesus and a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. We cannot see our way, but we take step after step of advance by faith. I am paying 3 workers $19 per week in order that they may not leave this field where souls are deciding for the truth. A recent effort has been made at Canterbury, and several have there taken their stand. But now the tent must come down, be folded up, and stored away, for it is midwinter with us and too cold for tent meetings. The brethren who are now working in Ashfield, Petersham, Canterbury, Parramatta, Kellyville, Prospect, and Sydney are brethren Corliss, McCullough, and Hare. Brothers Collins, Pallant, and Belden are also working in these places. The last 3 workers I pay myself. Brothers Collins and Pallant, who have families and others who depend upon them for support, each receive $7 a week. Brother Belden, who has only his wife, receives $5 a week. These 3 workers with Brother Simmons engage in holding Bible readings and in conducting meetings in the suburbs. Up to this time, Brother Belden has had charge of the tent and has worked in the Sabbath school and in visiting and in doing coal porter work. We cannot spare one of these just men from this field. There is an interest in all the suburbs of Sydney, and as soon as summer comes again, 3 tents will be pitched in 3 different localities. The way is being prepared for a large and extensive work. Efforts have been put forth to secure halls in which to hold meetings on Sunday evenings, but the halls are engaged by other ministers, and the places are all taken up. Our brethren have decided that this winter will be a favorable time in which to work Sydney. They have sought God day after day, and have searched diligently for a place in which to meet. They could find no place even for an occasional meeting without paying £2 or £3 for the privilege. We assembled at the home of Brother Corliss, together with all the workers, and had a most profitable season. The maps of the city and suburbs were spread out and examined, and each worker gave a report of what had been done in the different localities. Much was related that was of deep interest to me. Then we talked earnestly of the necessity of perfect harmony among the workers. I read important matter to those who were assembled, and with humble, contrite hearts, we sought the Lord for the impartation of His Holy Spirit. We had a solemn season of prayer, asking the Lord to work with every one of these men, in order that His salvation might be revealed. The melting Spirit of the Lord was manifest in everyone. We then discussed ways and means, and decided that we must begin work in Sydney, as well as continue our labors in the suburbs. The work must be thoroughly bound off that has been begun. In the providence of God, the brethren found a new hall in Sydney that was of proper dimensions for beginning meetings. Those in charge of the hall had made a rule that it should not be rented on Sunday, because this would prohibit the caretaker from keeping Sunday as a day of rest. Another difficulty was that it would cost £1 per meeting, and every other arrangement was satisfactory. Meetings will begin in the hall on July 7th. We are much relieved by the turn that this matter has taken. But the brethren said that they had no money and did not yet know what they would do. I said, "I will pledge myself to pay the extra expense for the hire of the hall for the next 3 months." I then presented to them the light the Lord had given me in regard to publishing pointed discourses on the truth for circulation among the people. It was decided that we would publish one discourse a week in sheet form and another in the Echo, and then sell the Echo to the people. I will have to appropriate money for this work also until some other way is devised. I am trusting in the Lord and living in strictest economy. I am seeking to use God's money for His honor and glory, and as His steward, will do the uttermost with the talents entrusted to me, that they may accumulate through the souls brought to the knowledge of the truth. Now I have given you an account of what we are trying to do, but I must now close this letter. Last night I was unable to sleep after 2 o'clock, and have arisen this morning to begin my writing. This morning myself, W.C. White, wife and family, go to Kurrenbong, taking the cars at 9 a.m. With much love to yourself and family. Postscript. Dear Sister Austin and family, I thank you for the donation you have sent for the advancement of the work. I shall have to lift to advance the work and donate no less than £40. The royalty on my books will be devoted to the work during these times of terrible dearth of means, and I will praise God with heart and soul and voice that I am enabled to make donations to the cause of God.